The key to making sure that you're a swipe right candidate is authenticity.
Hello and welcome to episode 117 of the Smart Agents Podcast. My name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we are joined by marketing expert and author of Amazon bestseller, Date Your Clients, Mark Young. The cornerstone of the book and Mark's business philosophy is to treat every lead as a long-term relationship rather than your next transaction. Drawing on some of his own past experiences, Mark shares how real estate agents can make lasting impressions with every lead to turn them into repeat customers. Now, before we get on to today's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. Also, if you or someone else on your team has an awesome story or tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on with today's featured interview with Mark Young. If you're interested in his book, Date Your Clients, I've added a link in the episode description. Yeah, so if you could, just tell me a little bit about yourself, who you are, and obviously tell me a little bit about the book you've written.
Yeah, well, Michael, first of all, thank you for having me on the show today. It's always fun to sit and chat with like-minded people. As you know, my name is Mark Young, and I am the owner of an agency, a marketing agency down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And we work, I would say most of our brands that we work with are very entrepreneurial, startup, owner-operated companies. That's really the sweet spot that we fall in, which we try to really be a plug and play for entrepreneurial brands. And as one thing that entrepreneurs really understand is that there's an art to relationship building, because most small businesses are really learning that it's about relationship when they're speaking to their audiences. It's a very micro world now. It's not a macro audience anymore. And macro audiences are potentially like at Walmart and at Target. But particularly if you're a person with a small group of clientele and you really need to make that voice, it's all about having relationship. And having been through this grinder 100 times, I'll say that one of the things that we end up working with our clients is, not only do we have to teach them and often work with them on how to have that small voice in a big space, but it forces us to have it with our clients as well. Because, I mean, my clientele is a very niche audience. By and large, we work with brands that are in the, I'll say, natural health and wellness space. So a lot of our brands are very health and wellness focused, beauty focused, all very much in the natural health, organic space. And again, it's a very unique space. But it is a space that really requires a lot of relational content with people. So funny enough, you asked me about the book that I wrote called Date Your Clients, and I'm all this preface into relationships and everything else. It's no surprise that I would write a book that's got such a relational title, albeit I will say somewhat provocative title. It's funny because the book, I always get asked the question every time I'm talking to somebody is, well, how did this start? Like, why did you write this? Mm-hmm. What was your inspiration for it? And I laughingly tell the true story of, I had a client who was just completely missing the mark on how her marketing program should be measured. And we talked and we talked and we talked, and I finally am like, okay, but you're missing the point. Like, you're trying to say that it's not working because so many people, you're not making enough sales on your website. I'm like, so you're blaming the lead source. And I'm trying to explain to you, the lead source is fine. It's your website that sucks. Right. Like, people are coming there, but there's not enough for them to look at. And she's like, it's just the lead source is bad, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, but understand, it's kind of like blaming eHarmony because you're not getting enough dates. And I'm like, here's the deal. Everybody's profiles get the exact same number of views, right? Because it's in their best interest. You know, Match.com puts your face in front of the same number of people as they put everybody's face in front of. The problem is your face isn't attractive enough to make somebody swipe right. And so that's how the whole book started, was this whole idea that you know, managing your clientele and managing those types of relationships is so similar to how we court clients. And your audience, I'll make the segue here. Your audience is predominantly, we're talking to people here that work in the real estate market. That's often like one bad date after another, right? Like that.
Right.
That's the people that make you jump through 1,000 hoops that never buy anything.
Right.
So it's very much relational. And in that vein, I'll say, you know, I know so many people who work in the real estate market, and the ones that are most successful are the ones that understand that they sometimes have some very high maintenance clients. And, you know, they have the clients who, you know, have a lot of the, you know, the very nitpicky type of intricacies that they're looking for. And getting to know that person and getting to know, I'll say, their love language is a very specific skill set that a realtor has to have. Because if you don't have those skills to know how to date your client and put the finishing touches on things, and you know, I love the realtors that take the time to bring a bottle of champagne to the closing and cheer the glasses and take the photos on their social media of another house sold and so on. Like they really understand how to celebrate and mark those moments. My realtor, some of the best things that he's ever done for me has been telling me to just don't bother taking my time to go look at some stuff, because he's gotten to know me so well that he's like, you ask me about these 3-4 listings on the MLS, you're not even going to want to see them. And I'm like, thank you so much for knowing me well enough that you're not just going to drag me and parade me through home after home. Like, you know what I want, you'll know what I don't want, and you value my time enough not to waste it.
Right.
And that means the world.
Right. Yeah. So kind of, you know, from the beginning, when it comes, you know, you talked about the lead sources and really kind of making you as the business, the entrepreneur, you know, appear as that person that you want to swipe right on. What are some of those things that you can do to kind of project that, you know, maybe those values or what you want to be seen as to your leads?
Well, the biggest thing I would tell anybody, and this goes from a dating site all the way through to a business site that's selling a product, and I think realtors probably fall somewhere in the middle there, because it's not a product, but it is a business. But there are zero realtors out there, in my opinion, that are just surviving on cold leads, right? Cold leads, they're great when they come in, and hopefully you can nurture them to something. But most business in the real estate market is coming from a warm lead. And those warm leads, what I'll say is that the key to making sure that you're a swipe right candidate is authenticity. And nothing ruins authenticity more than cookie cutter, business methods. Like if your website literally comes across like you just copied and pasted from a Wix template, then that's what I think of your service. I assume your service is also copy and paste, and I don't want copy and paste real estate. I want someone who's in my corner. And I think the same holds true of any type of swipe right person. And that is, it's an authenticity. It's a person who genuinely stands out from what everyone else is doing. And when you look the same as what everyone else is doing, I expect the exact same type of service that I would get from anybody. And I think that really, it shows in the level of responsiveness. It shows in the level of just care that a person, feels that they're getting. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, the realtor that I've used for years literally was a person who was listed on somebody else's, listing. I found a property I liked and called their realtor, and the guy turned out to be so amazing, that I kept him for years. In fact, he recently moved to New Jersey. Which means I can't really use him in Florida real estate anymore, but we still talk. We still stayed friends because he's just turned out to be that over the top, in the way that he provides things. And he got to be that type of realtor that when I bought property, he literally would just bring me what he knew I'd want. And I would often close on the first property because it was just such a no-brainer for me. That he would come in and say, here's the good things. He wasn't trying to sell me on anything. He was an advocate. And that's a word that I think every realtor should have in their quiver That is, you're not there to sell real estate. You're there to advocate for a buyer or to advocate for a seller, because I don't want you to be a salesperson.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's interesting. And you mentioned it, you know, how it's not so much the cookie cutter anymore. It's just really those personal connections. And in business, how that's, you know, how, you know, a lot of successful businesses are moving in that direction is those real personal connections. And it's interesting how a lot of that sounds exactly like what the small town businesses used to be, you know, like little hardware shops that, hey, if I had a need, they are going to personally order it for me, let me know when it comes in, and really take care of me on a personal level. And they're all well known within the community. It's interesting how we're kind of starting to shift back in that.
Well, and it's no doubt. I mean, the world, the economy, everything moves in cycles, right? I mean, life is about one cycle after another. And I think what's happened, I'll save this, and that is, we went from being a very manufacturing based, industrial based economy many years ago to becoming a service based economy. The problem is we've just realized that service can also be globalized, because I can't call a credit card company without speaking to someone with an Indian accent. So we've globalized service, which people here in the U.S. are finding themselves getting outsourced, because I've been able to even outsource your personality to someone who will work cheaper. And now with the invention of AI, even that is getting questioned as to whether or not people are required. And the reality is that we're in a world now that it's an information system, and it's, people are now buying our brains, because if I don't have unique thoughts, then my thoughts are unnecessary, because I can automatically generate generic thought. And that becomes the contribution. And like working in the marketing world as an example, like, sure, I can sit and talk to you and you can talk about algorithm after algorithm after algorithm. But the reality is that people pay me to talk about consumer behavior, you know, how to best market to it, how to best deliver message to it, what message to deliver. But the reality is we're talking about humans, and, you know, relating that to the real estate market, it's the same thing. Like, this is a human to human interaction. Right. And I will say that the best way to keep it a human to human interaction, because even real estate, I mean, you look at Carvana, right? I don't even need a car salesman anymore to buy a car. I can go automate everything and go buy it from a vending machine. Right. Like, whoever thought that you'd be buying cars from a vending machine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just in the real estate space, you have the Open Doors and all those.
Absolutely. You got the same thing. Like in the real estate space, Zillow has taken everybody to that every consumer thinks they have the same information a realtor has.
Right.
You know, they don't realize that Zillow is also a week or two behind the MLS. They also don't realize that all of these things are their best estimates. You know, those are not market values. Those are guesses. So the thing is every realtor has to fight against those things, because the voice of Zillow is just louder than their own voice. So in to the extent that they can become the trusted advocate for the buyer or the trusted advocate for the seller, the better it is. I mean, it really becomes that personal touch. Funny enough, I came into my office. I was out of town a couple of days last week, and I came in today to this box, and it's a really nicely filled box with a note on inside that was on the top from, I was actually a guest on this guy's podcast months and months ago, but we've stayed in touch. He's a great guy. I love what he does. He's actually a guy named Michael DeLon. And he runs a company called Paperback Expert, which he actually ghostwrites books for people. Mm-hmm. And what's so fun about Michael is he every single time I talk to him, not just a guest, nothing, every time we talk, I get a box in the mail with a personalized note with a piece of candy inside or a jelly bean thing inside. Like, it's some kind of personal something that he drops in the mail just to make sure that he stands out from a crowd.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, like, he goes above, like, he puts my service to shame. You know, I'm the one writing the book on relationship with your clients, and this guy knocks me out of the park. Like, he every single time I get a box in the mail with, again, it's a dollar piece of candy, right? The one he just sent me was a white chocolate raspberry bark called Sensational Treats with a note inside that says, you're a sensational resource for our business. And I want you to know that I appreciate you. Here's the deal. Anytime book writing comes up in conversation, I need to do an introduction for him today because a client of mine came to me and said, you know what? I really need to write a book about all of this stuff. Where did you start? And my answer was, well, you can start on Microsoft Word, or I can make an introduction to you to a guy who will either have a member of his team or he will sit down, interview you, and they will ghostwrite the entire book for you.
Right. And that's in the real estate space. You know, there's a lot of different services out there that you can set up, you know, the gift giving for your past clients and things like that. And I've talked to a lot of people that have had fantastic success doing that.
Absolutely. It's memorability. Like how well do I remember you as my realtor? And did your service wow me enough? I have a realtor friend up north, and I'm originally from Detroit. And I will tell you, she's so over the top in the service that she provides that I don't even live in Michigan anymore. And any of my contacts in Michigan who talk about real estate, I make sure that I provide her number because she's just so over the top. Like everything is so on top of things that I never question that people are going to get great service from her. And I've been stung by a number of realtors over the years. And so when you find, and I think everybody's got a similar story to that at some point, right? And it's like, if you find somebody who stands out, so I mean, to your audience, I would say, obviously they know this, right? This is not new information to them. They know how to try to make their name. But as it relates to dating your clients, I'll jump into that topic and talk about, books specifically. I think there's quite a few chapters in that book that are so relevant to your audience. And I'll give an example. One of the ones that really stands out to me is one of the themes that is throughout that book is understanding expectations. Mm-hmm. And that is, we all come into relationships, dating or otherwise, right? Like, I don't know if you're married or not, Michael, but at the point that you married, I'm sure you were not your wife's first boyfriend.
Right. Yeah.
She dated somebody else in the past. And the problem, when she started dating you, every relationship she had before you set an expectation of how dating is. And that may be everything from who pays for dinner to how often you guys should talk on the phone to that type of stuff. Like all of that stuff is an expectation that's been set by someone else in the past. And the problem is she's probably not even or wasn't even cognizant of those expectations because they were second nature. She didn't really think about them. And the same goes into our business relationships, though. Like every client I talk to has an expectation of how they should work with an agency. I mean, every client, I mean, they assume that because the last place they worked with, they met every week. Thus, we should be meeting every week. Or the last agency had an expectation that, all client work had two signatures before it was approved, So their expectation is that, well, if we don't talk about that stuff on the front end, then we don't know when we're violating each other's expectations. Right. And that's when we end up in disagreements, right? There's a whole chapter in my book called The First Fight. And, it's always going to happen. In every relationship, you're going to have a disagreement with somebody. And the question is not how to avoid those conflicts. The question is how to resolve those conflicts. And the same thing happens with clients. You're going to disagree. You're going to have a client who's going to be irritated because you took her to properties that didn't meet what she thought she should do. And now you just wasted her entire Saturday, right? You're going to have a realtor, if you're a consumer, who's not going to return your phone call in 15 minutes because they're at another showing. But setting those expectations on the very front end of an engagement is super important. And sometimes we hope that just happens organically. But I remember I told you about the realtor that I just loved. He literally sat down. He's like, great. We went and looked at the property you wanted to see. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? And I'm like, okay, interesting. We walked next door to a coffee house that was nearby the property that we were looking at. And he's like, talk to me about what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, talk to me about this. Like if you had your choice, what would this? And he just set up these crazy questions that got him to know my lifestyle. You know, where is it that I would be happiest? What is it that I like? And, you know, what kind of, and he came to the conclusion relatively quickly that I really do like a hands-off, carefree kind of life. Mm-hmm. So please don't show me a fixer-upper. I don't want to deal with that. He got to know the type of neighborhoods that I would be willing to buy property in, and don't show me that. He got to know I live in a high rise, and he got to know which associations I would have the patience to deal with, because he knows that some of the building associations are terrible. And he's like, you're never going to deal with these people. I'm not even going to show you the property. You're never going to deal with them. I'm like, thank you. Because those are things I wouldn't be able to even figure out until I lived there or purchased there. And I would tell you, like, to your people, like, setting up those expectations. Hey, I'm going to let you know, I always reply to phone calls within 24 hours. If I'm at a showing, it could be up to an hour before I reply. I just want you to know that. So if I don't reply, this is what's going to happen. Talking about budget, like, every consumer thinks that every realtor is trying to push their budget extra. I had a realtor down here recently that I was working with, because I was looking for a new realtor, and he sent me this stuff, and I said, great. And I said, I'd like to look at this property. And his response was, sure, can you send me back your pre-approval letter? Right. Like, sure. But first of all, like, I asked you about seeing the property. And he's like, well, I don't deal with anybody without a pre-approval letter. And I'm like, well, how about if I just send you a bank statement and show you that pre-approval is not required? But based on your response, no thanks.
Yeah.
Like, I get that you're trying to make sure that your time doesn't get wasted, but that's insulting to me.
Right.
Like, talk to me, call me, like, don't email me back, you know, send me a pre-approval letter and I'll show you the property. Like, I could have bought it cash. That wasn't the problem.
Right.
You know? So yeah, I would really get into that relationship building side. My gosh, it's so important in everything we do.
Yeah. Well, you talked about the expectations also, and, you know, and you also mentioned how you had experiences with agents where it, you know, it burned you. So you've kind of had some pre-existing expectations or pre-existing
baggage.
Yeah. You know, and to where the agent or the entrepreneur, whatever it is, has to now overcome this. And, you know, as an agency, you're probably dealing with people that have been burned by other agencies in the past. 100%. And you have to overcome that now too.
Well, and we get that as an agency on a regular basis. And that is, you know, people come to us, and it'll take us 90 days to earn their trust, because they come in and it's, well, you know, we dealt with these other people and it's all the promises and then they deliver nothing. And one of the best compliments I have, and I laughingly say, we're a sales and marketing organization that doesn't have a sales or a marketing team, because all of our business is all based off of the relationships. I mean, literally, I've got one client that I chuckle and say she's our vice president of sales, because she tells everybody about us, because she's so thrilled that she works with us, that she literally, we were at a convention recently and we had five different clients that were all vendors. They all had booths, demo booths at this giant conference out in Los Angeles. And I laughed because other people are walking up and like, who are you? I'm like, what do you mean, who am I? And they're like, I just heard two different people talking about you at the show. And I'm like, I have to meet this person. And I laughed. I'm like, it was my clients talking about us as being this great marketing partner. And everyone they knew at the show was getting told about them. Like, I walked away from that conference with all kinds of new business contacts, and I didn't even have a salesperson there. It was hilarious. Yeah. Absolutely hilarious. And it's all because of relationships. But to your point, she was one of those clients that she had a negative expectation coming in, and until we proved otherwise, and now she's our greatest advocate.
Yeah.
And we have that. We've had clients that have come to us. Another one recently, who actually was a contact of hers, came in with here's our budget. We've come to the conclusion we can do $3,000 a month. And I'm like, hey, for $3,000 a month, it's really not somebody that we'd probably even deal with. You know, and I'm like, but her brand's got a lot of potential. I think I just need to overcome this relational issue. Within 2 to 3 months, they're tripling, quadrupling their budget because they realize we're the real deal. And it, I think it's the same. And I would even tell from a real estate perspective, like I would love it if I was dealing with a realtor who said, you know, sit down with a cup of coffee. Can you tell me about your past experiences with realtors?
Right.
Like, that's a very relevant question.
Yeah.
What's been your past experience with realtors? Because I would tell them, well, here's the problems I've had. And by telling mm-hmm. them the problems I've had, what did I just say? I set the expectation of, please don't do these things to me.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Don't surprise me at closing. Don't do these types of things. Don't show me. I've had realtors who, you know, took me out on a date one day to show me five or six properties and then never returned my phone call. Like, why show me properties if we're not going to do business? Like, I've had realtors that I closed on a property that at closing, I already had a renter set up for the property. And at closing, found out that he had agreed that we would pay the seller's closing costs. And I'm like, why in the world would you do that? And he's like, well, it was a bank-owned property, and that's customary. Like, no, it's a bank-owned property, so that's negotiable. And you agreed to it, and now I'm sitting in a room at closing, and you just cost me thousands of dollars if I signed the paperwork. You know, so, you know, those are the types of things that, you know, sometimes, let's say realtors specifically, they think their world is so complicated that, you know, the end user, they just have to keep some of that stuff. And, you know, well, it's just more than they need. And it's like, I'm not a stupid consumer. Like, share with me everything. Let me know what's going on. So, yeah, but it's, again, I get back to it's expectation.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, I think, and a lot of it, you know, it really just comes down to those first, you know, couple initial meetings, those initial conversations, and really, you know, for your case in particular, like if I were to ask you, have you been active in the real estate market? And obviously you have been. So I know that I can share with these, you know, you understand the terms that mm-hmm. are being thrown out there. You understand what, you know, the process is like, so I can be more open with you on everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the things too is, the entire capstone of date your clients is this value, the relational over the transactional. I mean, that is 100% the entire mantra of the book. And the conclusion, it says, if you took anything away from this, like, and the book itself is, it's funny. It's, you know, very tongue in cheek. Like, I disclose a lot of my own personal faux pas and dating and, you know, all this kind of stuff to make points and, you know, emphasize, you know, chapter content, but it's that value, the relational over the transactional. And I'll say, if I were a realtor, and I work in a very similar industry, because in our business, we work with clients and it's a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not selling a widget once I'm done. I mean, we're not carnival barking at the state fair, right? Like, we're getting into relationships with our clients that last for years. And all of my clients are potential lead gen for another client. And it's the same as real estate. Right. You may sell one house to somebody who never buys another house for another 10 years. But if you knock it out of the park, you're going to sell houses to every one of their families and friends, too. And in that relational standpoint, what I'll tell you is a lot of times when you, especially from a cold contact, but even if it's a warm contact, don't approach that person like this is a potential sale. Approach this person as if this is a potential long-term lead gen. You know, and it's sure, go show them the property they want, but make a friend. Like, showing them the property and then shaking hands and call me if you see anything else on the listings you like, or I'll set up an automated email list that'll just send you listings. Like, that's nice, but everyone does that.
Right. Like, yeah.
Find a way to knock that person's socks off. And I'll go right down to, I mean, I'm out of the box, Michael. So I'm always thinking ways. Like, if you got a person who cold calls you or a friend of a friend that introduces you, hey, you know what? Here's what I'm going to start off. One of the things I do with all of my clients, you know, fill in mm-hmm. blanks, I always take my clients out to dinner to get to know them, because that helps me understand the type of house they'd like. I want to get to know your family. When can I buy you dinner? Let's set up a, you know, a dinner date one night this week and I'll buy dinner. Okay. So you put $100 into buying dinner. That's something that no other realtor has done for them.
Right.
Right. And that's relational.
Right. And if you factor that into your mission. Business plan, it's something that, you know, you're factoring that into your marketing dollars every year. Like, hey, you know, if I have this many, you can plan that out and you can budget that out easily.
And the thing is, and it's, I love the way you say that, budgeting into your marketing dollars, because I'm a big fan of setting very measurable goals. Mm-hmm. And one of my measurable goals, like I'm the person who sets New Year's resolutions and literally checks my list all year long to see where I am on accomplishing those things. But I would be the person who would literally set a metric for myself that I have to buy dinner for somebody every Wednesday or every other Wednesday. That is my goal. And that's part of my sales process. And that's part of my marketing budget. And if I don't have a dinner date planned for this Wednesday, I need to go find a client. Like, that is part of my weekly routine, or every other week, or whatever cadence fits their calendar, because that's your sales funnel.
Right.
Like, find a person who's looking for a house. Ask around. Who do you know that's in the market? I'd like to buy them dinner. Like, and literally set it up that way. I mean, or do something totally crazy. I mean, I'm giving some pretty benign things, like, you know, buying somebody a meal or a bottle of champagne or whatever, but it's part of your budget. But the over the top stuff is, I just have seen some of this stuff in the real estate market, and it's like, go over the top, like bring the person things that are not talking about you, because they don't care about you. They care about them, right? That's what they want. They care about them and themselves, right? I'm my own favorite topic. Do what you can to focus around them, not what focuses around you and your experience and your whatever. I'll work with an experienced realtor who's going to hustle. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, think about it, like that dinner, or one of the things that's going around down here in Florida right now is these catered picnics.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you set up a picnic where you're going to go out and set up a picnic and do whatever. But I would say, you know, find a restaurant that's in the community where the person is looking. You know, you're looking for a house, you know, in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Great. There's a great coffee house right downtown. Let's go meet there. That's
right
in the community where you want to live.
Yeah, I love that idea, because it also, it shows your expertise for the neighborhood that they're absolutely looking to move into.
Absolutely. And go to a place that's down there. Every realtor in town knows all the businesses in the surrounding area, right? Because, right. I mean, their faces are all over the place, because real estate's the only place where people put their faces on their business cards. But, I mean, everybody knows everybody down there. And it's like, I'm going to take you down there. We'll set up an appointment, whatever. And call the restaurant ahead of time. I'm bringing a client. I need to make sure the manager comes over and says hi to me at noon. You know, here's my reservation. I need to make sure that you go over the top on the service. Now I come down to the community and the manager walks up to the table and it's just like, hey, Michael, what's going on? Good to see you again. What does that person think? Wow, you do this all the time.
Right.
This is part of your business model, like, and whether it's dinner, lunch, whatever, like work around your potential client schedule. But the reality is it's not transactional, you know. And again, maybe it's a little staged, but if I'm the consumer and you took the time to get to know me, it's no different than we work in a lot of e-commerce, and a lot of the stuff that we deal with our clients is people love the, you know, take the quiz and learn more website. Mm-hmm. Right. So we do a lot of stuff with, you know, oh, you're looking for the perfect skincare. We'll take our quiz and we'll give you the recommendation for perfect skincare for your special skin. Why? Because we're all snowflakes, right? we're all super special and we're all super unique and our stories are unlike anyone else's. And, you know, fill in whatever, you know, egocentric description you need. But the reality is people get engaged by that personalized treatment because, you know, like we discussed earlier, we're tired of cookie cutter now. And social media has taught me that I'm really important.
Right. Yeah. Right?
Yeah, whether I am or not, I'm really important in my own mind. And I think the more personal that you can get somebody, focusing on that relational, not the transactional. I love the idea of take them to dinner, make sure that they're known. You know, give them the bells and whistles they didn't get from somebody else. And I guarantee you they call back.
Right. And I think it's one of those, you really have to, you know, in real estate, it's one of those things, like you have to understand the long game of it. And it's all these things that you're doing now are setting you up for just a tidal wave of business coming in. If you do this for a couple of years and you really kind of budget it in, it's going to come back tenfold.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing, is getting your listeners to, again, I'm going to always go back to relational over transactional, but, you know, don't make people feel like they're another real estate deal. You know, I don't have another deal pending. Like, that drives me insane when I see, like, I get the social media posts from my realtor friends with, ooh, got another signature on this beautiful property in downtown, whatever. It's like, I get that you're doing that because you want to look successful and you want to have content for your social site, but it's like, get into the relational side of things. Like, I dare a realtor to put a post on their social media site. Like, you know, I buy dinner for all my clients, you know, feel free to introduce me and see what kind of comments they get on something like that. Because so seldom, and real estate, by the way, it's one of those industries that, I mean, it's commission only. Mm-hmm. And commission only sales is a tough world, because you put in all of the work and all of the expense on the front end, hoping it turns into a paycheck. So I do understand the, you know, you're budgeting all the marketing dollars before the sales come in. But I dare your people to find something that no one else is doing. It's the, you know, it's the flowers on Friday. You know, no wife ever swooned about how her husband bought her flowers on Valentine's Day, because every husband buys flowers for their wife on Valentine's Day, right? But bring a single rose home every Friday. It's a very small investment, and I guarantee you, she tells every friend she has about that one rose every Friday.
Right.
Because it's unexpected. And, you know, one of the chapters we go through is about, you know, standing out even in your marriage and relationships. And, you know, I say, you know, is your husband able to stand on the, you know, but I have a steady job and I love the kids and I always come home for dinner. Like, is that what, I've never cheated on you. Like, okay, that sounds like a recipe. I mean, is that a perfect marriage? Like, that right. You've never cheated and you always stayed employed. Like,
that's a pretty low bar there.
Just expected. Like, right. That's a real low bar to call it a perfect marriage. And yet it's the outliers that get the attention. It's the people who are doing the things that are way beyond expectation, that are the ones that get talked about. And like I said, like, rather than two dozen roses on Valentine's Day, take those four, you know, take those flowers and give one a week on a Friday. And I guarantee you they're remembered much more than the double bouquet on Valentine's Day. Christmas gifts are expected. Anniversary gifts are expected. But when you're able to step out and do something that's unexpected, and it's psychologically speaking, it's called a pattern interrupt.
Right.
You know, I do something that didn't follow your script. And when I do something, again, we get into that mindset of expectations. When I do something that interrupts the script that you thought we were following, suddenly we're off script. And when we're off script, there are zero expectations now. We get to start fresh. And it's true in any industry, but, you know, I encourage realtors, like, what do I expect? I expect to make a phone call, find a listing I like, tell them I'm interested in the property, get asked for a pre-approval letter, set an appointment to go look at the property, blah, blah. Like, these are the things I expect. And when you're doing those things, you are part of the normal. Mm-hmm. Don't be part of the normal.
Right. Awesome. Well, before we wrap up, can you tell me where people can get a copy of your book?
No, I'd love that. So it's available on Amazon. We were an Amazon number one bestseller in category when we launched. Date Your Clients. My name is Mark Young. So you can search for it right on Amazon. Or if you're not going to go search on Amazon, just go to dateyourclients.com. And you can read a little bit more about the book. You can even download the first chapter on the website. And take a look. I mean, read through it, see what you think. I mean, like I said, it's pretty laughable. I had one of my own clients, and when you write a book about how you relate to clients and then know that your clients are going to read it, that's a very daunting review. So those were actually the reviews that made me feel best, was when my own clients were able to read the book and admit that I wasn't lying. That this is really, the proof is in the pudding, and this is really how we function here. But dateyourclients.com, they're more than welcome to go, you know, take a look at that, download a chapter. If they want to go buy it on Amazon. That'd be great. I mean, it's some good advice, but I'm not in the business of hawking books. It's just a really good read with some really good advice. One of my own clients actually made a comment, said, you know, I love reading business books and I never realized how dry they are. She says, after reading your book, she goes, it's changed what I expect out of a business book because I learned a lot, but I laughed. I enjoyed the stories, and it very much was such a humorous read that the next book I picked up seemed boring. And I'm like, did you learn anything? Like, and she goes, so much. She said, and the reason I learned it is because it wasn't a bunch of facts on a page. It was anecdotally supported, and I remember the anecdotes because we as people are storytellers. That's how history was passed down, right? We told stories. And she's like, that's how I learned so much from this book, was that it wasn't that you gave me the three things that I needed to remember from chapter 7. It's that you told me a story about how these things were applicable. And I remember the story because I laughed or you know, I was got cringed because it was so bad, like whatever. And she's like, and that's what really made it memorable for me. So yes, please go do that. And if anybody wants to talk to me, I'm more than willing to chat with anybody. I'm just Mark at dateyourclients.com. And would love to hear from anybody. If they want to chat, they want to tell me go to hell, they want to tell me they love the book, whatever, send me an email.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. I mean, it's, you know, the things in your book, and it relates so well to the real estate industry, because it's all relational, and you know, so definitely appreciate you taking the time talking to us today.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you having me today, Michael. Thank you so much.
I really want to thank Mark for joining us today and sharing how agents can really set themselves apart to create lifelong business. Again, if you're interested in his book, Date Your Clients, I've added a link in the episode description. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or tip to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.